And sometimes people, they don't realize that even though you're using the same term, you're not actually talking about the same thing. And so we've said so much about dying to the flesh, and then we've told you you're in this flesh and that you're not going to be perfect. You're always fighting this flesh. And so I realized that that using that term for two different things could get confusing. So I want to separate them this morning. And the thing we need to die to is actually the old nature. Which, you know, and many times preachers will refer to that old nature as dying to our flesh. But that's not actually what we're talking about when we're talking about this death that has to take place before the new birth. That's actually just as much as the new birth or the new life is a person, so is that old nature. And so we're going to continue in this flesh is what we'll cover this morning. And we're at war with this flesh. And this flesh is at enmity with God. It's our biggest enemy while we're here. Until we come to the complete redemption, which is the body change. And so we've got a war with this flesh and the things of the flesh. But there are desires of the flesh, but those desires are they're of the flesh because the flesh is in an unredeemed state. But the desires that need to be gone, that you need to die to, are the desires of the heart. And so we'll try to go through this, the Lord help us, and make a distinguishing of this here, because I see where it could be confusing, and it could be an area to where the devil, the ones of you that the devil constantly beats up telling you, you ain't got it because of look at all these mistakes. I pray we'll get that cleared up this morning. Amen. So let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here. And we ask God now, may you guide us through, dear God, this study of your word, dear God, and of the end time truth, dear Lord, to bring these things so clear, dear God, and defeat the enemy, dear God. The enemy, Father, he works, Lord, through, Father, being hidden and undercover, and Father, and he seeks to kill and to steal and to destroy and to rob the people, dear God. And Lord, but once he's exposed, he loses his power. And so, Lord, once you expose, he can use scriptures, he can use quotes, Lord, but once you expose it for what it is as being a counterfeit, Lord, then he loses the power that he holds over the people with it. And we ask, God, that you'll guide us through that this morning for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So what we want to look at this morning is the old nature must die. You remember when Jesus said, and we're going to read that in John 3, and let's just go ahead and read it. In John chapter 3 and verse 3 through 7, We actually started out on this teaching several months back about from this particular scripture. Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now here's where it's distinguishing. We've got part of us that was born of the flesh, and that is the flesh. But what we need to have is something born of the Spirit on the inside. Amen. But that's exactly verse 6 will tell you that's where your struggle is. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Amen. Now, let's read from 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. Peter writes this saying, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So that's born of the flesh, that's corruptible. That old nature is corruptible. But so we're born of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, one last scripture before you're seated. It's found in John chapter 12, verse 24. And Jesus makes this statement, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Amen. You may be seated. Now, going through this, what we see, especially from John chapter 3, Jesus saying, you must be born again. This is a requirement. And of the new birth. And the new birth, it's not a renovation. It's not a let's just fix things up a little bit. Put a few new windows and we'll just put a new roof on it. That's what a lot of people do when they go and they join church. You know, they just kind of dress up the old house a little bit, you know. But it's still just as corrupt. That's what the Pharisees had done in the days of Jesus when they were criticizing Jesus and criticizing the disciples, saying, you know, they don't wash their hands before they eat. You know, they the different things they do and how and so Jesus said, look, you're clean on the outside. You got the house all dressed up and clean on the outside. He said, but inward, you're full of dead man's bones. And so here Jesus is telling us that the truth of the new birth, it's not polishing up the old. You got to receive a new nature from above. Brother Branham, in the Message of Why, 1960, Brother Branham goes through this about a new birth. He said a lot of people are afraid of that new birth. They don't want it, some of them. He said, because they say, well, you know, I'm getting up there and snotting and crying and I'll carry it on like that or whatever. No, they want something real neat, Brother Branham said. You know, just shake a hand and put their name on a book. Or, you know, and of course, when we begin to apply that logic or thought to those that claim to believe this message, well, they don't believe in putting their name on a book. They don't believe in, you know, just getting a handshake and being on the church membership and that. But what they do believe in is that they got claims of, well, I got message books. Oh, I believe the prophet. I believe Brother Branham, you know. But all it is, as the Bible said, it's lip service. They're saying one thing with their mouth, the Lord said, but their heart is showing forth something else. Because why? Because that old nature is still alive in them. And all they've done is kind of polished up the outside. But Brother Ram says that new birth, it's messy, just like a natural birth. He said a natural birth with a baby being born, he said there ain't nothing neat about it. There ain't nothing, he said it's a mess. And he said that's the way the new birth is with the believer. Now, that's not just referring to some type of an emotional display up around the altar or some kind of a thing like that. But look, I'll tell you what, when a person is dying, you don't die easy. That old nature don't want to die easy. And when a person's going through that, friends, I'll tell you what, their life, it can look like it's in a mess sometimes. Now, this is the whole thing. If you want to die quicker, just surrender quicker. The quicker you surrender and give up to the Lord, the quicker you'll die to that old nature. But the more you try to hang on, the harder it's going to be, and the harder that death of that old nature is going to be. And it's going to cause you pain and heartache. And I'll tell you this, friends, not only you will it cause pain and heartache, but you can see testimonies by the witness of what you have seen and witnessed yourself of individuals that they, instead of actually dying, they try to hang on to some type of a justification of themselves that they're okay, and they pass that stuff on to their family, and then their family ends up in a mess. You've got children that grow up to be 30 and 40 years old, and they're in a mess. Why? Because everything they think they know is actually a bunch of lies out of hell. Look, you can eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Was that true? It was true. Was it true when Eve said, In the day you eat thereof, that day you'll die. That was true. The serpent actually asked her, has he not said you can eat of every tree of the garden? That's true. But it's only part of it. But then he brings in, surely thou shalt not die. That makes the whole thing from hell. And that's what it is when people take quotes of Brother Branham and they take scriptures to build a foundation of a justification for their lives to be able to claim that they're believers and they're going into rapture without actually having a change of nature. What they've done is they've made a doctrine. They've made themselves a god, an idol that they have put together. And their doctrine is actually, like Jesus said, they've built the foundation of their house on sand. It's drifting. It's not going to stand. Sometimes people have good thoughts. Sounds real great. But what does it sound great to? The carnal mind. Because that carnal mind is at enmity with God, and it doesn't want to die. Hallelujah. So Jesus gives this application about the new birth. Jesus is saying the corn of wheat must die. Ourself. We got to die to self. We got to die to creeds, ideals. We got to die so new life can spring up. Now, I want you to realize something. All right? The new birth in this last age, you couldn't get it anywhere outside of the truth of this hour. You didn't get it in some denomination or some other religious movement that you came from, and then you came over into this message. Yeah, but the Bible says the Spirit of truth leading guides you into all truth, and so it led me here. Look. You still weren't sealed. There's only one way for you to get sealed and receive it, and that is you got to come by the door. If you came by some denomination or some religious movement, you weren't coming by the door. You were coming in some other way. But what led you to come to this end time truth was actually leading you to get to the door and get in. And when you come through the door, that's where you get the wedding garment. Hallelujah. So here it's saying, so what do you got to die to? Die to all that stuff. A lot of times people come and they start saying, yeah, but you know what? I had a lot of truth over here. Look, God's not going to waste anything. Here's what I always tell everybody. Do what Paul said. Forget those things. Put them in the past. If there was any truth that you possessed at all, you'll have it. God will bring it along. But many times what people do is they bring old leavening from their past religious associations over into this end time message. And once you bring that leavening over in here, you know what you end up with? You end up with the same formula the serpent gave Eve. That was what he brought to her, some leavening. Something that actually was added to that wasn't part of. So you got to die to those things. So just forget them. Put them down. Amen. Well, my granddad, well, my grandmother, well, my mama, she was a good Christian woman. And she told me this and that. I'll tell you what, friends, whenever you find out that the Spirit of God here is telling you something different than one of them told you, then what you need to realize is there was a different voice speaking through them. I'm not calling them a devil, but what I'm telling you is if they didn't have this truth, then they really had nothing to offer you outside of good morals. And a lot of folks didn't even get that. For there to be a new birth, there must first be a death. That's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. Nicodemus took it all to the natural. How am I going to enter again into my mother's womb? Be born again? No. To be born again, you got to die first. Hallelujah. Now, listen, let's read from Romans chapter 7, verse 2. Now, let's bring this in. Now, I want you to realize here what Paul is writing. He's talking about that old nature, and he's telling you that old nature You were actually married to that old nature. So from this we can take that old nature was a person. And you were married to that old nature. And so that old nature, if you like many people want to come and do, they want to hang on to that, but still becoming Christian. Well, the Bible says they're an adulteress. Listen to what it says here. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now we want to be, we know that as a bride of Jesus Christ, we want to be married to Jesus, right? Well, you can't marry Jesus while you're still married to that old nature of sin that you were all born with it. You can't bypass that. Well, only thing we bypassed was our theophany coming into this world. But we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That scripture's telling you, you don't get a choice. You just born here and then are married to that old nature. It's your first husband. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we shall serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, listen to this. Now, there's people that come, and the reason many of them think they're okay is because they start living by some kind of a creed or a church teaching and clinging and holding to that. You know, I'm a member of the church. I'm going to be okay. My daddy is a deacon. My daddy is the preacher. My mama is the school teacher there. That doesn't mean anything. You remember that, Brother Branham giving that example about that young lady? She was in the service, and Brother Branham was preaching, and the Holy Spirit moved on him and called that young lady out. She was sitting back there. And he called her out, and after the service, she came up to him and said, "Don't you ever do that to me again. Have you to know that my daddy is a deacon and what more in the church and everything else? How dare you?" Brother Bam said he saw her. He said he told her, see, when he called her out, he said, "This is your last opportunity. Look what she done with her last opportunity." You know what Brother Bam says about that when people do that? He says, that soul that they have, the Bible says the soul that sinneth, that soul shall die. He said that soul that they have, said that die means actually that it separates. And he said, that soul will leave them. And he said, but when it comes time to die, it'll come back to them. Remember that woman that told him and Brother Neville, "I wouldn't feed that religion to a cow." And remember, Brother Branham told Brother Neville, said, "Now, that soul is going to leave her," and said, "She's going to feel like she's all right." Why? Because Brother Branham said, that soul's not there to bring any conviction. And he said, so that's her soul leaves. He says, but when it comes her time to die, I said, it'll come back. And she said, you watch her then. And so when it come her time to die, she was in the hospital, you know, she was in there carrying on. And they said, somebody, we need to get here and give her a hypo. And then they said, let's get the pastor in here, her pastor, you know. And so the pastor went to come into the room, and she said, "You get that hypocrite out of here." But what it was, she was in there screaming and saying, "I'm lost, I'm lost, I'm lost." And Brother Adam said what it was, that soul had came back to her at that time of death. And so, you know, but him and Brother Neville, she passed before they made it there. And so that's the thing. You know, these people, they come and they give themselves a way that they feel like they're justified in the church. And anything that comes and tells them they're wrong, that they don't want to hear, well, all of a sudden they need to either find a new church or something's wrong with that pastor. Funny. The problem is never with them. Hallelujah. Listen to what Brother Branham says in Invisible Union of the Bride. Now, it was a nature associated with death. Your first husband that ruled over you was your nature by natural birth. Natural. You love the world because you are the world and part of the world. Is that right? Your desire was by nature to love the world which you're a part of. You're a part of nature. You believe that? And that's your natural thing. That's the reason you have to be born again. You have to separate. You have to die to that first husband. You can't live with it. You just can't. Well, I'll divorce him and hang him over here till occasion. And you know, that's what a lot of folks do. They think they divorce. In other words, what they do is, well, I'll quit doing drugs. I'll quit drinking. I'll quit smoking. I'll start wearing these clothes, and I'll quit wearing pants, and I'll quit wearing makeup, and I'll quit acting this way, and I'll quit going down to the beer joints and the pool halls, and I'll quit playing cards, and I'll quit all this stuff. And they quit all that, but there's no change. That old nature is still alive. Well, I'll divorce him and hang him over here to occasion. That's why they end up going back to it. You'll see individuals, buddy, they'll get in church and they'll be on fire. And you know, they'll ever so sincere, you know, and coming to God. And boy, they can really talk. Sometimes they can talk the talk. Next thing you know, they're telling you, yeah, we were standing out around the fire out behind the house we had going at, and we was getting high on marijuana. What happened? That old nature never died. And the next thing you know, they're back and they're out of church again. And when they get out of church, then they go worse than they was before. Then after a while, they get to circling around, you know, because they get to, what happens is they ain't satisfied really. And so either that or they've walked away from everything they ever had. They ain't got a job. They ain't got no house. They ain't got nothing else. So it's time to come back to the church and pull on the people to help them get back on their feet. Buddy, we have seen plenty of that. I'm done with that. People need to get born again. You know what? I'm tired of the times that we played like we was, you know, some type of a let's help these people out type of thing, rather than being like John the Baptist, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. Bring forth fruit meet for repentance. I'm not talking about being harsh. I'm talking about being real. I'm talking about having perfect godly love. I'll tell you what, friends, you welcome people in and pat them on the back and make them feel like that they're okay and they don't need to repent and it's okay, just forget about everything you ever done and you don't got to repent of that. You are not helping them a bit. And that is not God's love. You patting them on the back and saying, I'm glad you're here today. Let's go get something to eat after the preacher gets done. That's not helping them. Brother, sister, are you here to get right? Well, that's what you need to do. Get right. Friends, look, it ain't about my opinion or somebody else's opinion. This is your life. It's either life or death. We ain't playing around here. This ain't no games. I went home on Thursday night, and I kept thinking about what the Holy Spirit had me preach on Thursday night and the things that I said. And I got to the house, and I was in the bathroom getting ready to go to bed, and Mina was in there, and so I just was talking to her about it and that, what was just kept going on my mind. And I said, you know what? I said, I cannot believe what had happened to me last week, and somebody just out and out lied to me. And I told her, I said, you know what it's got me to thinking after what I preached tonight? It got me to thinking about when Peter stood there and told Sapphira, What has made you to think you could lie to the Holy Ghost? He said, the men that carried your husband out of here, they're waiting at the door to carry you out. And she fell over dead. I said, I'll tell you what, you know, it's not that I'm wishing anything on anybody, but the thing I got to look at, I just sometimes can't believe that people have no more reverence and respect for God. That, you know, they want to include me in on some kind of a drama lie that they're trying to create. Not realizing the Holy Spirit's going to expose that. Because what is it? It's the devil trying to shoot an arrow into here. Well, God put me here as a watchman to watch out for that. So God is going to reveal it to me. You know, my dad always told me, he said, look, he said, truth always has a way of manifesting itself. He said, the cogs might turn slow, he said, but they'll come around and the truth will manifest itself. Sometimes it don't really take that long for it to manifest itself. If you want to put in a little bit of time, you can track it down and find out whether it's true or not. Hallelujah. Let's go back to this quote. The reason you have to be born again, you have to separate. You have to die to that first husband. You can't live with it. You just can't. Well, I'll divorce him and hang him up till occasion. No, sir. No writing of divorcement. He dies. The nature of the world has to die. Every speck of him has to die. You have to be reunited again with another nature. So here, Jesus in John chapter 12, what we see is there had to be a death that preceded any coming forth of fruit. And the fruit representing new life. You know, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. No one can bring forth fruit except they abide in me. And so there has to come a death and then a burial and a resurrection. That's the process Jesus went through himself in order to provide you with new life. Hallelujah. Loose from the first husband. That's what that Romans 7 is saying, the old nature, so that you can be married to Christ. All right, we just read that quote from the Invisible Union of the Bride. I've got a reference here in Hebrews 6 and 4 through 6. What that's talking about is it's the scripture you're familiar with, that for it's impossible for those who are once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift and been made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted a good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified himself, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. This scripture is speaking, how can they be partakers of the Holy Ghost? That doesn't mean that they received the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean they had the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. But the thing is that justification, being called, sanctification, being cleaned up, all of those are works of the Holy Spirit. It's all the Holy Spirit working on the individual to get them ready so he can move in. Hallelujah. You know, when me and Mina, when we first got married, you know, we didn't own the place, and so sometimes we would move and sometimes rent for a while, and then we'd move to another place and rent. And we were just starting out, you know, well, our first apartment was kind of like it had all the appliances in it. Well, then we left that apartment and went to a house, and when we rented this house, why, there was no appliances supplied in this house, so we had to get some appliances, and we didn't have a lot of money, you know. So my father-in-law, he found some people selling used appliances and things, you know. So I think we paid, you bought it for us, I don't remember what we paid, $50 or something like that, or $25? It wasn't much for a gas stove. We brought that thing in, friends, let me tell you. I think that from the day that thing was bought until the warranty wore out, a cloth had never cleaned that thing. It was horrible. And so my Mina and my mom and Sister Mary, they worked and scrubbed and worked on that thing. When they got it all cleaned up, you couldn't even see the numbers on the oven dial. So we kind of had to guess at where you put the dial to bake something. And but I'll tell you, grease and stuff, because it was gas. You know how gas leaves a film on stuff, natural gas. So it had a film on it, and then other stuff caked on there. That thing had to be cleaned up before we could use it. When we would move into another place, a lot of times, before we could just start moving in, we had to go in there and clean the place. And that's what the Holy Spirit has to do. Justification, sanctification. It's got to clean up the house. And it's got to get rid of the resident that's in the house. He's got to be evicted. And he don't want to leave. Well, I hope Brother Bill and his family don't get mad at me, but Brother Bill had his brother owned an apartment, and he was selling his house, and he was going to move him and his wife into this apartment he owned for a bit, you know. But he had his sister had been living in that apartment, and she had moved out, but her son had moved in, and he was remaining as a squatter, you know, and he wasn't paying no rent or anything else. And think about this now, and he wouldn't get out. His uncle had to take him to court and have the judge order him get out. Boy, family, huh, sometimes? He had to get evicted before they could move in. That's the thing with that old nature. He don't want to go. You're going to take him to court. You're going to have to get the judge, Almighty God, to say, get out. Amen. Hallelujah. You got it. The Lord can't live in there with that guy. That old nature is a bum. He won't do nothing. He thinks he is deserving, and everybody else owes him. That's the way that old nature is. The Lord can't say, "Well, I'll tell you what, you just stay over in that corner, and I'll come in over on this side." No, you got to kick that fella out. But there's only one way to get him out. See, this is the thing. Look at this. Had to take his own nephew, to court. There's only one way to get that old nature out. You got to kill him. He ain't going to leave. He ain't going to walk out. He's going to have to die and be carried out. Hallelujah. People, they have a work of the Holy Ghost in their life, and then of the sanctification. Then they stop there. And then they got nothing to hold them. And the Bible says when the evil spirit has gone out of a man, that old nature, that old devil, when it's gone out, then the house is cleaned up and it's empty. The problem is that they got it out, but it didn't die. And so it gets out there, and they don't get anything else to move in. They don't get the Holy Ghost to move in. And so that old devil gets out there and says, "Well, I can't find another house to get in, so I'm going to go back to this one. I'm homeless right now. I'm going to go back over here, and I'm going to camp out in this one that I was in before." And when he goes back, well, he takes a bunch of his homeless friends with him. And they just move in and camp out, friends. They set up. Hallelujah. Isn't that what the Bible said? He takes seven other homeless spirits in there with him, and the latter state of that individual is worse than it was before. Hallelujah. You know why it's worse? Because Brother Ryan said that homeless guy number seven is a religious homeless guy. He's a religious spirit. A religious devil. When that religious devil moves in, it's a hold on. I tell you, I got a way for us to stay here. And we will claim something of the law. You know, that we've been here, so they cannot kick us out. So let's just get this fella to think he's okay. That's what the religious devils do. Get him to feel like, well, I'm okay, so I don't need to do anything else. I'm great. I'm fine. With this scripture in mind, what we just read, let me cover something that Brother Branham speaks in there's several messages here. Brother Branham talks about Jehovah Jireh Part 3, Faith is Works, express and at Kadesh Barnea, and also the service of witness. In those messages, Brother Branham covers this whole idea about scrubbing up a hog, taking a pig out of the pig pen, and scrubbing the thing up, he said, and making it beautiful, he said. And he said, you can take it out, he said, and you can put perfume on, bathe the thing and put perfume on, he said, put some stockings on that thing, he said. And he said, but the first chance it gets, it'll head right back to that mud hole. Said, because why? Because that's its nature. Brother Bam actually says in one of those messages, he said, if you do that to that hog and you make that hog eat what a sheep should be eating, he said, that hog will die. It can't survive on that. It'll be like most church people on a Sunday after preaching. I got to get to a restaurant right now, and it's got to be a buffet so I can get something in my mouth right now, or I'm going to die. That's the way that pig gets. I got to get out of here and I got to get back to my wallow, or I just ain't going to make it. And they go right back to that. But Brother Ben said, you try to take a sheep and put that sheep out there in that pig pen. Said, nope, that sheep ain't going to survive. That sheep don't want nothing to do with that pig pen. Why? Because it's got a different nature. Hallelujah. Look, friends, Christianity, I got this point down here. Christianity is not behavior cosmetics. It's a nature change by the Holy Ghost. We don't need a better version of ourselves. We need another life within us. Hallelujah. Now, how God works for this change. Brother Branham speaks about this in a threefold pattern. He speaks about it in the message of Future Home. And says, water, it's repentance and water baptism, right? Also, I want you to realize water also, the baptism represents burial, all right? So what has to happen? Well, you can't bury something that's alive. You can't bury, that's why you can't get rid of that old nature if it don't die. You can't bury that guy. He ain't dead. You can get baptized all you want. God told somebody years ago, I said, unless that old nature dies, you'll go down a dry center and come up a wet center. That'd be the only difference. That thing will still be there. But water baptism, we know it remits past sins. It's actually an outward sign of an inner work. All right, and so any things of your sinful life previous to that, then that's wiped away. It's forgiven. It's remitted. You know what the word remitted means? It means it never happened in God's sight. Hallelujah. But if the old root is still present, that person will come back up out of that water, and boy, they'll be able to act all right for a while or anything. But if you don't get rid of the root, I'll tell you what, when we had some trees cut down around our house here this year, and they were some, you know, we live out in the woods, so there's some of these trees, I don't know how old they are, some of them are real big, and we had about five big ones. We had six trees, but I think about five of them were really big, and two of them was in the backyard, and I'm trying to remember what they was, Brother Wayne. One was had acorns, that's an oak, right, and the other was a hickory, I think. Hardwood, right? And so them things was big. And so the guy come in and he took his machine and they cut down them trees, then he ground up that stump. But then he started with this machine, started going back and forth, just tearing the yard up, man. And I thought, well, what in the world is he doing? And so after he got out there a little bit and he took a break, I walked out and he said, I got to get rid of the roots. Otherwise, he said, the tree will come back. And that's the whole thing. A lot of people, you know, they cut down the old tree. but they leave the root there. They quit their smoking, their drinking, and their lying, all these different things, you know, and they get clean of it, but the root's still there. Why? Yeah, there never was a death. All they did was they just did some renovations. Hallelujah. Sanctification, cleanse, set aside for service. That's what it means to remove the sin, the desire that's on the inside. Then the Holy Ghost and fire, it burns out, and then the new nature can come in and replace that old serpent. Brother Bram said, we're born with, Brother Bram gives this illustration, and we've done the illustration a couple of different times for you. He shows that you're born in your heart. He shows that old nature, and Brother Bram drew a serpent in there. And so in that old your heart, there was that old nature, that serpent is there. And then Brother Adam says, that thing's got to be got out of there, that nature. And then he says, what happens is then the people get this. They got it emptied, but they didn't die to that old nature. And if they stay right there with that empty heart, that old nature, it's even if it's just a root left, is going to grow right back up, and there'll be a snake in there again. But the snake, it'll be like a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, it'll look like a Christian on the outside, but inward, they're ravening wolves, Jesus said. Hallelujah. And so you got to have the new nature come alive in there and take residence, the good man of the house, you know. And Brother Adam took and put a dove to represent the nature, actually, of the Holy Spirit. The nature of the Holy Spirit is represented by a dove. Something gentle. Hallelujah. Remember Brother John, Andy's here preaching about gentleness. And when that comes in, then you start having the fruits of the Spirit. I love the way Brother John Andy's pointed out, because some people, they get so focused on, we got to have love, we got to have love, we got to have love. We need to have perfect love. And I believe that. And I know we do. And they'll go to that quote, and Brother John used that quote to illustrate where everybody uses it, where the angel said to Brother Branham, when he had him beyond the curtain of time, said, nothing but perfect love can enter here. But this is the whole thing Brother John pointed out from that pyramid. I don't know if y'all still got that thing from his stuff. But anyway, he pointed out in that pyramid, many of y'all familiar with it, Brother Bram had to draw up the statue of a perfect man. You know, here's these seven virtues of the Spirit. But then there has to be a sealing of the Holy Ghost that's between there and the capstone. Did you realize, you know, just from looking at the drawing, because the Holy Spirit drew that, you know, and just looking at the drawing, I want you to realize something. The Holy Spirit doesn't just, oh, well, I made a mistake there. No, it drew it perfect. If you try to bring that capstone down and you try to put that capstone on top of brotherly kindness without the Holy Ghost, it doesn't fit. So something's got to happen between there to seal you for something for perfect love to set down on. I don't want to get off my subject here going too much on perfect love. Maybe some other service will get into that. Hallelujah. So Jesus speaking in John, and then John talks about it, actually, in 1 John 5 and 8, spirit, water, and blood. And so Paul speaks about it in Romans. We got to be buried with him. Crucify the old man. We got to be buried with him. And then we can resurrect the newness of life. If we're identified, that's what water baptism is. It is an outward sign that we have inwardly identified with Jesus in his death. And how can we identify with him in his death unless there's been a death? There has to have been a death, otherwise we can't identify with him in death. And the death there has to be is the death of that old nature, the old man. Hallelujah. Then if we're identified with him in death, then we are identified with him in life, Paul says. That's talking about resurrection and newness of life. So water, blood, spirit, that's God's order. Death, cleanse, indwell, that's God's way. Hallelujah. Now let's look at this quote and recognizing your day and its message. Pardon me, I'm going to take this jacket off. Brother Branham, what he's talking about here is that when a person passes from this life, whatever nature that's living in them, that's the nature that comes up when they come up either in the resurrection of life to the rapture or the resurrection unto judgment. So listen to what Brother Branham says here. When you die or whatever, when you leave this world, your nature doesn't change. If you're a liar now, you'll be a liar there. Isn't that something? We talked about that, I think, just maybe a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, going to a funeral, you go to a funeral, somebody that supposedly believed this message but lived like the world. And they live like a devil, and then they got them up there in the casket, and they get somebody to come and speak, you know, and put them into heaven. Nope, that don't fit this, does it? That ain't what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said, if you're a liar now, you'll be a liar there. If you're hot-headed here, you'll be hot-headed there. If you're a doubter here, you'll be a doubter there. Hallelujah. Men and women, it's time to shake yourselves and examine yourselves and see where we're standing. For death does not change it. Death doesn't change nothing to a man but change his dwelling place. Doesn't change your nature. Doesn't change your faith. Doesn't change nothing in you but your dwelling place. So which way your nature is this morning, if you're a doubter of God's word, you would be a doubter over there. I don't care how holy you are, how you live, how good you live, it wouldn't change you one bit to die, just your dwelling place. Now, let's look at this sentence before we go on. I don't care how holy you are. What? Because that's not what it is. That's not what's going to get you there. Brother Branham said, by works, the Pharisees and the priests could outshine Jesus. Think about that. Not how old you are, how you live, or how good you live. That ain't good enough. That ain't what it is. People try to say, well, I got the Holy Ghost because, you know, I got good morals, and I'm good to my neighbors. My neighbor's slaughtering a pig. I'll go over and help them out. That don't mean nothing. I give food to the poor, whatever. Don't mean a thing. These devils that do that. Just your dwelling. And if you can't accept, listen to this, if you can't accept the whole word of God the way it's written, you wouldn't do it there. So don't worry, you won't be there. You've got to accept it in its fullness, in the power of its vindication, and the revelation of what it is. Then you become a part of it. It's only His word that'll raise you up, as He did His word on the first Easter morning. Only His word came forth, and those who had died in His word believe in His word and vindicated His word. Death don't change your nature. Only change your dwelling place. Brother Ram point out, if you're a doubter here, you'll be a doubter there. However you are here, that's what you'll be there. But if you give a nature change, friends, then there's a new life. And you have passed from death unto life, not to come into the condemnation. Now, what does that scripture mean, the condemnation? It's talking about the day of judgment. Now, when you go to Matthew chapter 7, you find out Jesus talks about a lot of cleaned up people professing Christianity coming before in the day of judgment. They're professing to be believers, and they actually have a profession of actual works of God that they have done and performed. And Brother Manning points out, said Jesus never denied that they'd done them things. But he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And Brother Branham took, and he explains that knowing is about them actually having a relationship with God. They knew him out there in the kitchen. They knew him in the living room. And Brother Branham said they never went into the bedroom and had a relationship, a personal experience with the Holy Ghost. So we must receive a new nature. Now, listen to this. Brother Branham speaks in the midst of souls that are in prison now. And he tells us, God, what he's going after is your soul. God's not trying to get your flesh. People get a lot of caught up in the expressions and things of the Spirit. But that's not it. Look, Brother Branham, he never condemned people having emotion or condemned sensation, people who experience or feeling sensation. All Brother Branham said was, don't major on that as being your evidence, because it's not the evidence. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. There's denominational churches, you know, that in the past that I knew of, that, you know, they could have some real display of the Spirit. You know, we've got people around this message now that they've fallen off into, you know, shouting and dancing, jumping and hollering and all that. And there's nothing wrong with it. But let me tell you where, you remember when Brother Branham talked about Ricky Nelson? Remember him? Little young guy back then, the singer, actor, all that, you know. If you looked at him and compared him to some of these fellas today, you'd think, oh, man, that's an all-American, clean-cut, decent, moral-looking man. Young man, you know. But Brother Branham saw the seed that was there. And so I have been around folks that they said, I'll tell you what, we had such a service, boy, we were shouting and dancing. Man, we were singing and we was shouting and dancing. God, I'll tell you what, we got so carried away, the preacher didn't even get to preach. We had a wonderful service. They missed the whole thing. It's the word we feed on, not emotions. Emotions won't keep you. Here's the whole thing about emotions, all right? If all there ever was great happy emotions, you'd be okay. But that's the whole thing about emotions. Also included in there is sad and depressed and lonely and feeling like I'm going to die. Those are all emotions too. So people could come in church and they get all worked up. And that was the thing Brother Branham talked about, working people up into something. And not actually giving them life. And they walk out with some emotion, feeling great. They're walking on cloud nine. But guess who's out there waiting on them? That old devil. And by Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday night, he's done knocked them for a loop. They ain't feeling happy then. They ain't on cloud nine then. Now they're down in the dumps, doubting God. Why? Because they're living on emotions. Now look, I'm an emotional person. But friends, this is the whole thing. You can't live and go by your emotions, because our emotions, like Brother Brandon preached, why people are so tossed about. Because they're living out there where, he said, the atmosphere can't affect them. But if you get into that holies of holies and have that personal experience with the Holy Ghost, a new life born into you, it don't matter whether it's raining or shining. It's like that song Brother Nate sings, you know, we can thank him even when it's raining. We can thank him right in the middle of the trials. You know what Brother Branham said about it? Many times he said this in the message of, I believe it was in the message of Souls Are in Prison Now, but I can get it for you for sure. But Brother Branham says, many times he said, we get to looking at bad things going on in our lives that's happening to us. And he says, and we think, oh my, what in the world is this? Why is this going? Why did God letting this happen? He said, God has a plan in it. He says, Why did God allow Abraham and Sarah to go down there and lie to that king? You say, God? He knew they were going to do it. He allowed them to lie to him. That actually them lying to that king was actually part of God's plan? How absurd. You know what that is? That's a paradox. Paradox? Paradigm. Anyway, it's something that's 180 degree different. It seems like the opposite. God, that would be in his plan for them to go down and lie. That's what Brother Abraham says, and the soul's in prison now. Why? He said, because God had something he wanted to display. And the only way he was going to be able to display it and get it in the word where it could be hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent but revealed unto babes was he had to get the king to want to marry that old grandma. For that king to look at that old woman and say, boy, I'd like to have her for a wife. She's beautiful. Why? It was a testimony that she had received a change. And Brother Adam said that actually was a testimony to us, an example of how the body change is going to be for us. The only difference is Sarah's was a little bit of a slow change back in Abraham's. Ours is going to be in a moment and twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. But God wanted that to be a testament in his word that he could do it. Hallelujah. And why did he do it? So that the promise could be fulfilled in them. Hallelujah. Oh my. Let's go on. You know, John, can you put up that scripture? I don't know if I got that scripture down or not, brothers. It's 1 John chapter 2. I think I got the verses down there, but I don't think I put it actually in my notes. I don't know. Do I got it in there somewhere? I don't guess I do. Let's put that up if you can find it. It's about you can't love not the things of the world. 1 John should be 1 John chapter 2. I got verses 15. My little children, these things which I write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. All right, go on to the next one. And he is the propitiation for our sin, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. All right, next verse. And hereby we know that we know him if we have keep his commandments. He saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Go on to the next one, brothers, if you got it there. Anyway, John, he gets to speaking there and says, you can't love the world and God too. And Jesus said, you're either going to love one, you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love one, you know, and hate the other, or hold to one, right? So you can't have two. If you love the things of the world, John says, the love of God is not in you. Hallelujah. Oh, they got it up there. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Hallelujah. So what is that talking about, loving the things of the world? It's talking, look, our flesh does desire things. But the inner man, if that death has happened and you've been received a new life, that desire is in you. It is not for a desire for those things. That's why there's a different desire in your soul than what's on your flesh. There's where your battle comes in. All right. A changed nature, it changes desire. Once what you once desired, you now resist. What you once resisted, you now desire. All right. Now, let's look real quickly about this, about the flesh. And we'll read from Matthew 26:41. Now, we're moving from the old nature to actually speak about this flesh we're living in and the war that's going on between the new nature in us and this flesh that we're living in. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He says it again in Mark. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Now, we believe in grace, and we realize that this flesh has those desires. And a lot of people, what they'll do is, even around the message, they'll take it to a degree of saying, well, you know, look, when I would do evil, you know, good, evil's present, you know, and they do it as an excuse for why that they continue the behavior. But this is the whole thing. What they're making an excuse for, and the reason the behavior is continuing, it has nothing really as much to do with their flesh, is that the old nature they never died to. Look what Paul says here. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Romans 6. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If we're dead to it, we're not going to live any longer there in it. All right? Know you not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, even so we also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Now look, Paul is actually speaking about individuals that actually have that new nature that has been born in them. But there's this struggle that goes on with the flesh. Because the flesh, it didn't get the Holy Ghost. You didn't get new flesh. You still got the same old flesh. If you don't believe it, look in the mirror and then go look at your graduation picture from high school. Go look at your wedding picture and then go look at yourself now. Hallelujah. When we were gone on this trip, I pulled out a picture of me and Mina at our wedding, and we're standing there cutting the wedding cake, and somehow grandkids recognized her, but they wonder who in the world was that fella next to her. I said, look, I think that every day when I look in the mirror, who in the world's this? That ain't what I look like. I still see myself looking like I looked then, head full of blonde hair, you know. I think when we got married, I weighed something around maybe 150 pounds. I'd lost weight. I weighed 170 and graduated high school, but I lost a bunch of weight living on my own. I didn't have nothing of groceries in my apartment. Hallelujah. Yield not your members, verse 13, as instruments unto unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Bring this outside body in subjection to the new life on the inside. Hallelujah. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or disobedience unto or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. Let's look here on Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 14 said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do not allow, for what I would, that do I not, but that what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, and consent unto the law, that is good. Now then is it no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Now, he is not talking, there's a new nature been born. All right? So he's not talking about, because you got a new man. Paul is talking about that flesh body that's in an unredeemed state that you're living in. That is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, in here. But how to perform that which is good, I find not in this flesh, it resists. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but the sin dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Hallelujah. But I see, now look at this, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul is talking about this flesh, that your new person, your new man, the new creature in Christ Jesus, living in this stinking, rotten flesh that is our enemy. Why can we feel temptation? Because of this flesh we're living in, is the flesh that was made subject unto death by the curse in the garden. Now, I want you to realize something. The Bible tells us about Jesus that he came made lower than the angels. He came down into and was made in the likeness of man, and that he was tested in every way such as known to man. In order for that to be true, it means that the flesh Jesus was walking around in was the same stinking, rotten human flesh that you're walking in. Otherwise, if he was walking around in some superhuman flesh, then how could he be the author of our salvation and secure those who are in temptation? You know what secure means? It means help. Be a help. We have not a high priest that can't be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. On the contrary, our high priest can feel what we feel because he's been through what we've been through. He's experienced the temptations you experienced. He has experienced the emotional downs that you experienced. Brother Branham actually makes it real plain. I wonder, boy, how it kind of gagged some of the holiness people back then, so claimed to be. You know, when Brother Branham said Jesus was tempted in every way, he said he was tempted by drinking, he was tempted by women, he was tempted by money, he was tempted by everything. That's right. Thank goodness it didn't stop there. It said, yet without sin. Because ain't none of us could do it. Revelation chapter 5 tells you that. They looked all through heaven and all through earth and could find no man worthy. Why? Because no man could do it free from sin. But it had to be a man. But the only way a man could do it was that man had to be Almighty God in flesh. It had to be the Word in flesh and dwelled among us, walked the walk we walk. That's why, friends, on the day of judgment, nobody, there won't be no excuse they can have for why they couldn't serve God. Because Jesus will say, they'll say, well, but I had this and that. Jesus said, I had that too. Jesus understands it all. Why do you think there's more to it? You know that Jesus talking about that Pharisee, I believe it was, he comes up to the altar and that publican comes up and that Pharisee looks over to the publican and he says, thank God I'm not like that publican over there. And the publican He said, he smites his heart and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, there's a lot more to that story than what a lot of people focus on. So I don't want to focus on the things you know. I want to take you to maybe the thing you ain't never thought of. Jesus is pointing out how the self-righteous Pharisee looking down on that public, how it made that publican feel. You ain't worth nothing. God don't care about you. Well, I'll tell you what showed the difference was there was a desire of his heart to get right. Now, this publican wasn't coming in saying, I'm a publican, I'm going to stay a publican, but I'm a sinner, and I'm going to stay that way, and I want you to accept me into your church, act like I never done it, you act like I never smacked my wife, you act like I'd never done this or that, I never lied, I never said evil things about you or your pastor, you just act like none of that stuff ever happened. You treat me like I didn't do it. Nope, the publican didn't do that. He had a repentant heart. That's the difference. You say, why did you say that, brother? Because as people today want to go around and say, if you're telling somebody to repent or you're telling them what they're doing is wrong, oh, you're being judgmental. Well, this is the house of judgment. And that's actually the whole reason you should be coming here, that you can judge yourself now by the word, that you won't stand in judgment on that day. Look, I'm not telling people, oh, you ain't got no hope for you, buddy. You ain't no good. You ain't no count. You done this and that and the other. Boy, it's over for you. Look, I don't know when a person's last time is, but I know there will be one. I told you earlier about that young lady in the service that Brother Bram called out and said, this is your last opportunity. Brother Bam said he saw her later on. And when he saw her out there later on, she said, he didn't even recognize her. And it wasn't because, you know, time had passed and he just couldn't remember her and things. She had changed. That wicked evilness, that old thing that was living on the inside of her had got to where it manifested itself. Do you realize the demons that are in their fallen state? And Brother Bam would describe them and how hideous and horrible they were and everything else and how horrible they looked. And he would describe some of them as being like a bat, and he would describe some of them as these horrible looking things. That's not how it started out with them. They started out as angels. But their unbelief and rejection of God and following after Lucifer, it changed their outer form eventually. And that's what happens to individuals. And that's what happened to this young lady. Brother Bam, sorry, he didn't recognize her. She said, you know who I am, preacher? He said, no. She said, I'm the one that you called out in the service that day and said it was my last opportunity. She said, preacher, I want to tell you, you were right. It was. She said, now I could see my mama's soul fried in hell like a pancake, and I'd laugh about it. Testifying to how far she had went. And there was no way back. I'll tell you what. While it is yet day, and you got time, while mercy of God is still here, if you're in need of it and you need to repent and get right, you better be doing it. Look, this ain't about me or my opinion of you or you doing what I want or pleasing Brother Jerry. You don't got to please Brother Jerry. There's only one you got to please, and that's Almighty God. You ain't going to stand before me and me stand there and pass judgment on you in the day of judgment. Will stand before God. I don't know everything he does. Oh, I think about that. I remember as a little boy, a pastor getting up and preaching and talking about that there's going to be a great big screen across the sky. And everything in your life has been recorded. And Brother Ram's saying there'll be like a movie played across that screen of your life. And this is the thing, you'll be standing there, if you haven't made right with God and being born again, you'll be standing there in the body that you sinned in. You won't be able to deny it then. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is. They'll be standing there in the body they sinned in. They won't be able to deny it then. Oh, we might have it hid now. We're talking about some of this stuff to the grandkids and we're about people coming into judgment. And people in Charlotte spoke up and she said, man, that is going to be a long time. Huh? And there won't be no, okay, let's set another court date and adjourn for today. Nope, there ain't going to be no lunch break. Mm-mm. She said, it's going to take a long time for all them people to be judged. Especially because Brother Branham said it'd be a bunch of them come up, and Jesus said it too, offering all their excuses for why they shouldn't be in the judgment, that they should have been okay. But think how embarrassing it'll be then to that flesh. Everything you think you got hid now, it'll be made manifest then. That's what Jesus said. He said, all that you think you got hidden, it will be manifest. Oh, let's get it under the blood. Let's let it be to where, friends, that there ain't nothing to be manifested from that old nature, that old sin. Daniel said there was a books were opened at judgment. Brother Adam says everything you ever done was wrote in those books. There's only one thing that can make that page blank. And that's being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. A new life in Christ. So how do we struggle with this flesh? I got to close. How do we struggle with that? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. Now, we've already died to the old nature. But what we covered here in the book of Romans chapter 7 is you're at war with this flesh you're living in. So you got to die to that flesh every day. This flesh is going to make mistakes. I got to get into this. All right? Brothers, put up that. I want to go through this. We talk all the time about this interview with Sister Bruce. I want to, you got to, yes. All right, now I actually led the lead in up here, left it. The following is a personal interview by Brother Branham that had with Sister Georgia Bruce during the song service preceding the message, The Masterpiece, during which he refers to this interview in paragraph 57. I visited you in the hospital that time. I prayed constantly. God wouldn't let you die because you're a value to the church. Now, I know you. I know you're going to be all right, Sister Bruce. I believe that with all my heart. Sister George Bruce says, Brother Branham, most of all, I want the experience that I have been sealed in the Holy Ghost. And if God will reveal it to your heart. That's a lot of people, they struggle in their flesh. They want, oh, my, you know, I got this. Can somebody just tell me and give me an assurance I've been born again? I believe with all my heart that you are a real born-again believer, Sister Bruce. How could that spirit just leave? When you get sick, you get weary, and you're a nervous-type person. And what Brother Bram's talking about, Brother Bram's going into the psyche, the mental battle of this woman, where Satan fights you, the battleground. All right? And he said, see, you get things on your mind, see, little bitty things, and it just keeps building up both ways. And you'll get somebody in your heart and you want to pray for them and get up and pray for it. You can't rest until you get the person prayed for. That's you. Then on the other side, Satan maybe might present something to you out this way, see? Then God, you're a nature and God works and Satan works. And then when Satan tries to make you believe that you are not, see? You keep building this. What? What does she keep building? What Satan keeps working on her mind about. And maybe this and this. Don't look at yourself, Sister Bruce. Remember, I'm fixing to pray for you. I'm not worthy of that, I think. What would I do if Jesus was sitting here now, and what would he do if he was sitting here? He'd lay his hands on you with his great faith, see, and you'd get well. Well, I think, well, I'm a sinner. I'm not him, but I come to represent him. But remember, me being a sinner, and before God, I'm not a sinner, neither are you. We got a blood sacrifice. Now, look at what Brother Bam is. Brother Bam is identifying with her. Brother Bam not looking down his nose at her. He's identifying with her. He's getting down there and lifting her up. And he said, before God, I'm not a sinner, neither you. We got a blood sacrifice laying there. God don't even see us. He hears our voice, but he sees the blood of Christ. That's it. He sees the blood of his own son. It's our voice, Christ's blood. Then it's Christ that's talking through us to God. So therefore, we're not sinners no more. We are Christian. I believe you to be a genuine Christian woman. I remember the thing. Sister Ruth says, I make so many mistakes. I fail so many times. What is she telling him? What the devil has been pointing out to her in her mind to get her to believe that is an evidence that she wasn't born again. What was he pointing her to? The flesh. Now watch what Brother Branham points her to. That's why Christ had to die, so that you with your mistakes wouldn't be lauded to you. See, he took your mistakes. Your desire in your heart is to serve him. Sister Bruce says, yes. All right? That's what he died for, so you could serve him. See, not your mistakes are not looked, not lauded to you. See, he is your propitiation. See, he's your sin offering. Your sin's not known. You're not a sinner before God. Christ took your sins, became you, because your desire is to serve him. Sister Ruth says, but I've never had an experience that I've been filled with the Holy Ghost that I could put my foot on. That's why people want to lean on sensations. They want something they think is a tangible evidence. You know what the word tangible means? Something you say, oh, I know this is here because I can feel this thing. Hallelujah. But I've never had an experience that I've been filled with the Holy Ghost that I could put my foot on. All right, notice this. Now he's going to tell her what the experience she had. Ordinarily, a human being is born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. That's the nature of the human being. He's talking about that old man, that old nature. Sister Bruce says, yes. That was your nature. It changed once. But what changed it? She says, Christ. There you are, see, sister, see, that's it. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and shall not come into the judgment, but hath passed from death to life. St. John 5:24, Jesus speaking, see. So you're a Christian, Sister Bruce. I've watched your life. I've watched you under vision. I know you're a Christian, see. Not one speck of, see, I'm your shepherd, as it was. Sister Bruce said, yes. Some says, somebody to help, see. If there was any doubt in my mind, if I thought you was something was wrong, I'd tell you, Sister Bruce. Why? Because he's got perfect love. That's the love of God. He ain't going to pat her on the back if she ain't all right and say, oh, you're all right. This wasn't him just kind of giving some kind of comfort. Oh, you'll be fine. Sister Ruth said, I believe that. But if there's anything wrong in your experience, anything wrong between you and God, as far as I know anything about it, Sister Bruce, there's not a thing. There's not one thing. Now, we look at that and you would think, man, I wish I could have been in Sister Bruce's shoes. Stood before the prophet of God that I know that God would speak through him and reveal things to him and show him visions and say, you're not from this place, you're from another place. You're from such and such a city. This is your address. This is your last name. I see you sitting there and I see a doctor come up to you and that doctor saying this and this and this to you. This fear, this phobia you're living with. I see you as a little girl, and there's a dog that jumped out and barked at you, and it caused that. That's who she was standing there with. Boy, what we wouldn't give to have been in her shoes. Friends, look, there is greater assurance than the prophet of God seeing a vision or not seeing a vision. What is it? Well, like Jesus said, I can do nothing except the Father showeth me first. The Word is your assurance. if you can just reach down and anchor into what he's telling her here, pointing at that there's been a change happening, a new nature. And if you can separate that there's been a new nature born in you, separate that from your struggles of this flesh, then you're not going to be living under the fear and condemnation the devil keeps trying to put on you. Hallelujah. Pardon me a moment. Hallelujah. Realize there's been a change in you. Look at what the word's been preached today. Identify with the word. You realize there's what brought you here this morning? Why did you even come to church? Now, I'm not talking about those that time and time show up like they did at John the Baptist's services or Jesus' services either. Those don't stay. I was talking on the phone yesterday. Brother David Morris called me from Arkansas. Many of y'all might know him. He called me. He wanted me to come over and speak for him in that. And he said he was out on a trip coming back home. He said, when I get back, Brother Jerry, look at my calendar. I'm going to call you up. I want to set up a meeting and have you come over. And he was talking to me. And we got to kind of reminiscing about things, you know. And he was telling me what I preached the very last time I was there. And he said, that's been about 22 years ago. It was November 2003. And so he's telling me what I preached last time I was there. He said, you preached on beauties in the eye of beholder. He said, and you sung the song. He said, my people still talk about it. He said, they ain't forgot you. They want you to come back. And we kind of got to reminiscing and got to talking about, we first started talking about some of the new young men out there ministering, you know. And me and him, Brother Josh Martin, he's coming here in a week after this coming Thursday. He'll be here to preach for you. And we were talking about him. He knows Brother Josh Martin, you know. And then we were talking about Brother Isaac Hatfield, who's been here, and we were talking about Brother Nathan Erickson, who's been here and spoke, you know, and that. And we were speaking about some of these young men, and I was saying, man, what a revelation they have. It just blesses my soul to see the revelation they have of this message. And I can see, and I'll tell the brothers that too. I can see you've been studying and digging in there. You couldn't preach the way you're preaching to have that clarity, you know, unless you had sat under good ministry yourself and actually then been digging in there yourself to study. You know, like a preacher that was somebody helped my dad when he was 17 starting out preaching. You know, people back then, they would tell my dad, said, look, the Holy Spirit anoints you. Just get up there and open your mouth and God will fill it. I don't really put no scriptures together or notes, whatever. I just get up there, open my mouth and God fills it. But this old time preacher that was kind of like helping my dad, he said, look, you need to study to show yourselves approved of God. He said, if you don't study, he said, God will fill it all right with air. He said, you'll get up there and won't have nothing to say but glory God, hallelujah, and kick up your foot. I see these young men, and we were talking about them. You know, I said, you can tell they get in there, they studying that. And so we kind of got to reminiscing, and we got talking about some that we used to see. All right? And I'm not throwing off on them. I love these men, a lot of them. I hope they have got right with God where they should be. But we talked about some that they used to come by our churches, and they would preach for us, and we had confidence in, and we loved, and we had good fellowship with them and that, and some has fell off, some of these preachers fell off into adultery. And I told Brother David, I said, you know, my dad always told me as a preacher, he told me, he'd say, listen, your testimony, you got to guard that. He said, because if you mar your testimony, you know, your reputation, you won't be able to get it back. And I said, I trust these brothers. I don't put them out. I trust they get where they need to do and get all right. But I said, it's a shame. And then he started talking to me about individuals. He said, you really got to watch them nowadays. He said, some of them have been married 2 and 3 times and things. And I think it's all right. And then we got talking about different ones. It seemed like they traveled with us and then they left, you know. And they don't travel with us anymore in this Christian walk. And I said, brother, I said, look, here's the thing. They wasn't believers to begin with, is what the prophet said. He said, the unbeliever, he's going to leave quick. So, but that make believer, he'll stay right there for quite a while. But eventually, Brother Bam said, the make believer will show their colors. What is it? They'll show that they don't really believe. Now, how do they show they don't really believe? I'm not saying they get up, you know, of course, we got those that leave the message and say, I don't believe Brother Ram was a prophet, and I don't believe this and that, and I'm going to write something bad about him. No, no, no. You got people that leave, and they'll still claim they believe Brother Bram was a prophet. But their life speaks, the life they're living speaks that the old nature is there, resurrected in them, come back, moved in, and they're living the life of that old nature. But now they got a religious claim. I'm okay. Think it, friends. The Bible says they're give over to a spirit of a strong delusion, to believe a lie and be damned by it. And the Bible says, and their conscience is seared over with a hot iron. You know what they, look, you know how they used to cauterize wounds? They put fire to them. And that's what the devil, they've been seared over with a hot iron. They don't feel nothing no more. Well, I don't feel condemned. Of course they don't feel no condemned. Brother Bram said they ain't got no more conscience than a snake's got hips. Now let's look at this and finish up. This is in the masterpiece. Paragraph 57. On the interview a few moments ago, I was speaking to a person in the room that's present now and said, but Brother Branham, I have so many things that I know that's wrong. And a godly little woman. I said, but look, sister, you don't look at yourself. It's just what your desire is what you try to do. And if you really love the Lord, you try to serve him with all your heart, then all your mistakes is hid in the blood of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. See, he made a way. So what's Brother Ram telling her? He ain't looking at your mistakes. They're under the blood. What he's looking at is the desire of your heart. And if you've been born again and died, that old nature died, and a new nature born into you, then you don't desire those things from the world. That desire's not coming from your new nature, the new man. Those desires that you're struggling with, they're coming from the flesh. Let me tell you something. If you ever drunk, alcohol in your life, and you drive down the road, and there's some kind of a big old billboard there that advertises some kind of a alcohol, maybe the one that you might have drunk. And you know what will happen? Satan will get into your spirit realm and that gate of your memory and imagination. And you'll sit there, and it'll be like somebody waving a banana under your nose and you not taking a bite of it. You know what it tastes like. Because you've ate it. You had ate it before. And you'll see that and it'll come back to your memory. And you could actually describe to somebody what that whiskey tasted like. Why? Because your flesh still remembers it. You're still in the flesh that did it. And it's still there in that memory of your human spirit. Your mind. The greatest battle ever fought. So why don't you go on out and get some? Because the desire in your heart has changed. Oh boy, I got, can you give me a few more? Something came to me, I got to cover. So you know Brother Branham had a crucifix hanging off the mirror in his car. Y'all know that? And you know why Brother Branham had that hanging there? Brother Branham said he had that hanging there. Now I want you to realize something. This is a man that the Spirit spoke to when he was about 3 years old and said, don't you ever smoke, drink, or defile your body in any way. And Brother Branham, he explained what that defile your body was. It was about with women. And he said, Brother Branham said he had that crucifix hanging in his car. And he said anytime he would see a, some kind of a half-dressed sexy woman walking down the street, he'd see me, he said, I'd just turn and look at that crucifix. Why? Why would the prophet of God that never smoked, drank, or defiled himself with women have to turn his head and look at that crucifix? Because he was in the same stinking, rotten flesh you were in. Remember what he said in the message? I gave you the quote some time ago. And knoweth it not is the message. And he said, if Satan would walk some sexy dressed woman down the street, he said, if there's a man walking here on this other side, said, it's because what? It's the nature of this flesh. He's going to look. And said, if he don't have that tie post, what's he talking about? That new nature, born again. Said, if he don't have it, and then Brother Bram don't leave it there. Look, he takes the kid gloves off. And he says, I don't care if he's a preacher. Gifts and callings are without repentance. He says, I don't care if he's a preacher. If he don't have that tie post, said he'll go across that street and make a date with her. There's another place Brother Branham says, he says, if Satan marches some woman half-dressed down the road, he said, if the man has the Holy Ghost, it will turn his head. Now, here's what I want to point out to you. Why would the Holy Ghost, the new man on the inside, have to turn the head of the man? Because it's still in this flesh. Thank God we got the new man on the inside to turn the head. Why? Because this flesh, we struggle with this flesh's desires. Look what the Bible says about it. I did have this scripture. I don't think I included it in anywhere when the things I gave the brothers, but it's the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So those are the three things the people's gonna have their struggle with and have to die to. All of those things are things that have nothing to do with the regenerated new creature in you. Why did Paul say in Ephesians 4 and 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed? You're sealed until the day of redemption. Putting off from you all malice and envy and strife and evil speaking and all these things. Why, if you're sealed by the Holy Ghost, is he telling you you got to put all them things off? Won't they just not be there? Well, they're not in here, but they're out here. There's the difference. So when you have heard me saying you got to die, I'm talking about you got to die. That old nature's got to die. But now there's a daily death to this flesh. But don't let the devil condemn you over this flesh by pointing out all your mistakes as some kind of evidence to you that you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Now, if you ain't, that desire ain't changed in you, then you ain't got it. I want to make that clear from this sermon we've preached this morning. If the desire in your heart is still for those things, then you ain't had the nature change. But if that desire of your heart, it is at enmity, it's at war with the desire of your flesh. That's what, look friends, there's a lot of people thought, well, when I get the Holy Ghost, you know, there won't be no more temptation. No, that's the body change. Why aren't we in a millennium now if we are all new creatures in Christ? Because we're still in this old, unredeemed, flesh, thinking, rotten body that's subject unto death and temptation. But one day, the complete redemption, our soul has come into it. But one day, the rest of us will come into it. And we'll have a body change, a new body. Hallelujah, a glorified flesh body. That's not subject to temptation. Why? Because it matches what's happened on the inside of you. That new creature in you, it is not subject to temptation. Quit letting the devil beat you up over that. Look, why, with all that he's been hitting some of y'all with and condemning you, why ain't you left? Why are you still here? Because the desire in your heart has changed. There's a new creature in there. It won't let you go. You have become a prisoner to Jesus Christ. You are a love slave, a bond slave, the Bible says, to Jesus. You are bought with a price. He owns you. Hallelujah. All the Father's given me, I'll not lose a one. That's why you ain't left. That's why you're still here. But what you need to do is realize, just like Sister Bruce had to, that there's been a newness in life in you. And quit letting the devil condemn you over your flesh. Now, as we covered in the scripture, as I close, that doesn't give us a license to let the flesh just run rampant. Nope, we got to die daily to it. Amen. All right. Brothers, I want to make these few points and close. The point I want to go to is one I got titled Appeal, Dying to Live. All right. We covered Romans 6. Reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, alive to God. Romans 13, also Corinthians 7. Put on Christ, cleanse the flesh and the spirit. All right, Matthew 26, 41. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, so pray and watch. Brother Branham, in The Lamb and the Dove, he says, don't impersonate, receive a new nature, and simply live it. All right, and then he says in Jehovah Jireh, you can't polish it up. It's got to die so Christ can be born in you. All right, you, look, a person that comes up to the through the work of God, they come up, as you were, to the cross. And they come up to the cross and they got to die there, identifying in the death with Jesus. And when they die to that old nature, then a new life comes up. And when that new life comes up, then when they get to walk away, when they get up to walk away, there's a newness of life. They're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Brother Bam said he'd saw people come up to the altar to get born again. He said, and they'd think they got it, and they would go to get up, and some of them he'd tell them, no, no, you ain't got it yet. Get back down there. Get back down there. Hallelujah. Like my grandfather told my uncle, Ronald, if you're just going to stand here, you might as well just go back to your seat. Hallelujah. But now you take an individual, they come up there, and they go through justification, sanctification. They come to the cross. They plead the blood. But they don't ever die. And they walk away the same way they came in. They leave. You know what it is? It's a pig returning to its wallow. It's a dog returning to their vomit, the Bible says. Think about that. We look. You know why the Bible says that? That's horrible sickening, isn't it? Y'all ever seen a dog do that? Boy, about it turns your stomach, doesn't it? But yet, the Bible takes that horrible nastiness and says, I want to liken this to an individual that is presented with opportunity to come from God and turns around and goes back to that old life. It's like a dog returning to its vomit. Man, how about turns your stomach thinking, no, Brother Corey. But that's what people do in the spirit, in their spiritual life. They go right back and they just start eating of that old stuff again. That's horrible, ain't it? Well, Jesus wanted you to get the horribleness of that so you'd get the reality of what that was. Hallelujah. Can't polish it up. Look, you can't clean up a pig. It's got to have a nature change. Hallelujah. You know, in the church age book, Brother Branham actually says that you never was a pig or a dog if you were elect seed of God. He said, you just thought you were. He said, you were always a sheep. You just thought you was a pig. Why? Because of that old nature that was in you. But there was a seed buried down in there. And as Brother Bam described, he goes on to describe it, goes back to it right there in that place in the church age book about the eagle born, hatched under a chicken. He thought he was a chicken. He tried to eat with him, tried to scratch with him. But just couldn't be satisfied. And he didn't know why until he heard that voice. Hallelujah. So we need to repent. You know what repent means? Not just being sorry, but turning from the sin. Dying to that old man, dying to that sin. Renounce the old nature and its claims. Receive the Holy Ghost, because that's the power that they were endued with from on high that changed them. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. He was standing there, Jesus getting ready to go and give himself and die, and he's telling Peter, you ain't even converted yet. What was he talking about? That was the new birth. You ain't been born again. You got to make it over to there and wait there and tarry into Jerusalem until I come again and you're endued with power from on high. Remain in daily surrender. I die daily, Paul said. I die daily to this flesh. How can we die daily? By walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Listen, I wrote this down. I think it's, I'm not saying repeat this or recite this, but just to put a thought in your mind, our prayer could be, Lord Jesus, I accept your word. I accept your cross as a place where my old nature must die. I yield my will, my ideals, my sin, my self-life to you now. Burn out the old, bring in the new. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, your very life, so that I am yours in nature, not just in name. I reckon myself dead to sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Seal me tonight or today with the Holy Spirit of promise. In Jesus' name, amen. If the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. If we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Look, let's conclude it now. I put some points I put down here. The new birth, it ain't a paint job on old wood. It's new life in a new heart. Let's go back. It's not blood on our hands like Lee Harvey Oswald or like Pilate, but it's blood in the heart. Hallelujah. Covering their sins. God, he don't patch Adam. He births Christ in you. What I mean by that? That we are Adam by birth, by natural birth. God ain't patching us up. He didn't patch up Adam. He provided a way of salvation for Adam. The bride doesn't impersonate life. She carries that life inside her. Brother Adam said people will be able to go on for so long and maybe impersonate something. But sooner or later, the life that's really in them, it'll show and manifest itself. Let's stand. Hallelujah. I trust, friends, that we've been some help to you this morning. Cleared these things up, and I trust some of you that and I know we've got folks that are different stages in their walk with Christ and in this process, maybe, you know, in that, and I just want to God to help me to reach out to all of you, you know. But I today I really wanted to look at two things. One, get that old nature, let's die to it. But then also, while I'm teaching on that, to point out to you the reality for some of you that the old nature has died in. And that you do have a new nature and a new desire on the inside. So quit letting the devil beat you up and keep you condemned and beat down and always pointing out your flesh. Look, when the devil points out a mistake in your flesh, just thank him. Thank you, devil. I'm going to repent of that right now. I appreciate that. I appreciate you pointing that out, because I wouldn't want that hanging on. I'll tell you what, he's going to quit pointing them out to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like you have these people that come around by twos and do their witnessing from door to door, you know, and look, I'm not downing them. They're doing all they know and been taught. But they come to Brother Charlie Spencer's house one morning. Brother Charlie, I'll tell you this, I stayed with him once. Brother Charlie, he has a time every morning after breakfast that he gets down and prays. And if you're there, you're getting down and praying. So these two witnesses showed up at his door at the time he had got done with breakfast and getting ready to go into his living room and get down and pray. So they knocked on the door. So he went to the door. He said, come on in. And they said, yeah, we want to talk to you. He said, well, look, this is the time I'm getting ready to pray. He said, let's pray. He grabbed both of them young men by the hands, and he sunk to his knees, hanging on to them as tight as he could. He said, I pulled them down. He said, and we had prayer. And he said, when we got done praying, they had nothing to say. They got up and left. I'll tell you what, when the devil comes to point out to you the mistakes of your flesh, just say, okay, let's get down and pray right now, devil. Let's get this thing right. I'm going to tell you what, he's going to quit battling you over that. He's going to quit. I ain't telling that feeling nothing. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your grace, dear God. We ask, God, that you be with us, Lord, as we go. I pray, God, that the people, Father, they would take a hold of this reality of the revelation of your word, dear God. Father, may those, Lord, that have been beat down and feeling defeated, dear God, may they, Lord, may they walk out of here, dear God, Father, with renewedness in them, dear God, Father, and their faith strengthened, Lord God, and realizing, dear God, that something that something they're looking for, that they want an evidence has happened, may they look right now in what's been preached of this word, just like Brother Branham said to Sister Bruce in that interview and showed her, looking at that new nature and new desire in her, that was her proof. That was the experience she could put her foot on, that something had happened. Hallelujah. I'm not the same man I used to be. Lord, as the song says, bless your people this morning. I pray for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Where would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God? This song of victory is now mine to sing. Hallelujah, for the love of God has set me free. Where would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God? This song of victory is now mine to sing. Hallelujah, for the love of God has set me free. Where would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God?
Believe the Lord Jesus can heal your foot. You believe that, don't you? Amen. Let's pray. Let's ask Jesus to touch your foot and make it better, right? Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you. I ask, Lord, you'll honor the faith of this little boy. I think of how many times, dear God, after a service, God, that he'll come to me and ask me to pray for different things, dear God. Father, he's doing that, dear God, because he's got faith. He believes, God, that if we'll pray, you're going to do something about it. I ask you to honor that faith, dear God. Touch his foot, dear God. Heal him in Jesus Christ's name. Take away the pain, the soreness, the bruising, and everything, we pray in Jesus' name. Father, build this little boy's faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
God has set me free. Where would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God? This song of victory is now mine to sing. Hallelujah, for the love of God has set me free. I saw mercy, mercy seated where the judge should be. I was guilty, oh, guilty of getting out of jail free. How could it be I didn't get the life I deserved? And the only thing that he wanted was my heart in return. And every time I think I thought it was the end, I'm caught up in wondering again, where would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for love of God? This song of victory is now mine to sing. Hallelujah, for the love of God has set me free. Well, I was thirsty, but like a desert turned into a field of green, started breathing. Oh, when heaven's favor took hold of me, how could it be I'm living with infinite worth? 'Cause the one I thought I had chosen me first. And every time I think I thought it was the end, I'm caught up in wondering again, where would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God?
Hallelujah.
This song of victory is now mine to sing.
Hallelujah,
for the love of God has set me free. If it wasn't for my fears and mistakes, I would never know the depths of his grace. Now my heart is beating for heaven's sake. And for the love of God, where would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God? This song of victory is now mine to sing.
Hallelujah,
for the love of God has set me free. Where would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God? This
song of victory is now mine to sing. Hallelujah, for the love of God has set me free. Where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God? This song of victory is now mine to sing. Hallelujah, for the love of God has set me free. Where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God? This song of victory is now mine to sing. Hallelujah, for the love of God. For the love of God.
Hallelujah.
This song of victory is now mine to sing. Hallelujah. For the love of God has set me free.